Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
We are continuing in this study in the book of Acts as we draw life and example from the first group of Jesus lovers and institution developed as a result of following his command. Acts chapter 1 is the continuing of that final earthly conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. Last week, we discovered that Jesus is emphatic about the disciples remaining in Jerusalem. He tells them to wait until the promise of the Father is received by them. The takeaway we found out on last week was that you should never leave a place of pain without power. Would you remind your neighbor of that? Never leave a place of pain without power. Jesus wants them to stay in a place of vitriol and violence until they receive the gift that guarantees victory. In verse 6, you find that the disciples are moving past that particular point that Jesus has just made in verses 4 and 5, and they ask him, "Is it time to restore the kingdom of Israel?" They are ready to be in charge, ready to assume power. I am sure they're feeling that if Jesus indeed sets up his kingdom, then those who are closest to him will be delegated power to accompany his leadership. It's interesting when you read verse 6, watch how they phrase the question. "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Let me just make sure you grab this, because it's interesting to me that they have put the kingdom of God that they were discussing back into their personal possession. They say, "Is it time for you to restore our kingdom?" It's a shame, and it's something that actually has to be guarded when you and I make what God is doing, or rather we limit it to only those things that concern us. I'll say it again. This side is not that spiritual. This is the side that's got the Holy Ghost today, so I'm gonna stay right over here. It's a shame when we limit what God is doing to only what concerns us. It's a shame. I told you this side got the Holy Ghost. Father, please save this whole side over here in Jesus' name. They need you. They really need you. God will perfect, complete, and mature everything that concerns you. But once he does, it's got a purpose that's larger and more far-reaching than just you. I don't know who told you to think that when God was working in your life, it was just for you. I don't care how personal the thing is that God is doing, Saros, it's not limited to just you. When God brings you out, he is not just bringing you out to bring you out. When God heals your body, he's not healing your body just to heal your body. When God breaks open doors in your finances, it's not just so you can go and buy the nicest, the latest, the greatest. No, God's purpose in doing whatever he does for you is always, somebody say always, bigger than you. It is. Your trial is not just about you. Your pain is not just about you. Your hurt is not just about you. As a matter of fact, somebody else is going to be blessed when you get victory. I wish I could get you right there. Honestly, if y'all hadn't taken up the time that we were supposed to play with later, if y'all hadn't taken that up to dance, I would shout you right here and tell you that that is reason enough for you to hold on. Because there's somebody else's breakthrough that's connected to you holding on. When God brings you out, somebody else is going to come out. I wish I could talk to the church right there. God never intended for you to come out, for you to be delivered, for you to get victory solo. It's never God's intention. As a matter of fact, if you can narrow it down to what you're requesting of God, if you can see that it's only going to bless you, that ain't going to be God. It will not be. It will not be. I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. The disciples are really desirous to know the full plan of God concerning his literal kingdom. They want to know when the remainder of God's promises are going to be fulfilled. And seeking the answer to their Lord's kingdom, they are expressing, are you ready for this? A need for presence. Somebody shout presence. They want the whole world to know that they are reformed, they are restored, they are re-engaged as a world player. They want presence. Somebody say presence. Now, unfortunately, the same said truthfully only can be said about us. Too often in our quest for God to move in our lives, the desire is for presence. We want status. We want position. We want regard. We want respect. Presence makes us feel established. Channing presence causes folk to feel a certain way about us. Presence. Let me tell you what presence, not presence as in gift, but presence as in standing. We think presence today is graduation from the right school, living in the right neighborhood, driving the right car, wearing the right clothes, not Gucci apparently now, we can't wear that no more, pledging the right fraternity or sorority, having a position in church. These are the things that we believe communicate to other people that we have presence, that God is with us, that our lives are not what they should be if we don't have status. This is the way we feel God is working for us, that God wants to bring you to a place that you will know he is with you because of the neighborhood you live in. It's what the disciples were asking. Is it time now? God, we've been through enough. We've seen death. We've seen crucifixion. We've seen punishment. And now it's got to be time, Keisha. It's got to be time. Now I've seen enough that God really must want to establish his kingdom in my life. He wants to set me up. I've been having to put up with the stuff on this job. God about to blow me up. God about to take me higher. I ain't saying here. You get to act in some kind of way when you feel like stuff about to change. You know what I'm saying? Won't he do it? Said he would. Yep. We start. Oh, we act different. Don't buy a new car. Don't let God open a door and you get you a little new ride and it shines. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about like it look new. It ain't just new to you. Okay, never mind. You get y'all don't know what that is. When you tell people you got a new car and they be like, it's brand new. It's new to me. I'm talking about that baby look new. Like showroom floor new, like you got a manufacturer's warranty on that, man. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't. I came from the north side. All of our cars initially, we didn't buy them like that. You know what I'm saying? We was buying them out of people's yard. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So the first time I went to the dealership, hear me now, huh? Y'all don't understand. To actually buy a car and not have to fix nothing before I drive it. Y'all don't know how, you don't even realize how blessed you are, do you? You know. Some of y'all don't know that story. Some of y'all don't know what it is to drive on Maypop tires. See, that's a different category. You got Goodyear, you got Michelin, and you got Maypop. That means they may pop at any time. You better be careful. Ride over that rock if you want to. You're going to need help. Anybody? Anybody got a Lincoln? I mean, anybody got a town car? Anybody had a town car? Not Lincoln, but town car. That means you only drive it within the radius of that city? You don't know. You don't know how blessed you are. You don't know how blessed you are. But when you get hold of something, you can tell people ain't used to, you know, having certain things because they leave a tag on it. I remember when everybody was wearing Coach belts when we first got into it, and they gave it a little leather, a little tag. We wanted to wear our shirt tucked in, but you couldn't. Wear it outside, but you had to tuck it in so people could see that little tag. Said Coach, "Ooh, that's a nice belt." Because just like the disciples, we want presence. We want regard. We want people to see that God has blessed us. And the Lord says to them, that is not what this is all about. Watch Jesus' words to them in verse 7. He doesn't immediately correct them for desiring the literal reign on earth. That hope is justified. But what he does tell them is this: it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which God has in his power. He's making sure that they understand when and how God sets up his kingdom is not their concern. Watch this. What God chooses to do physically in and through you is not your concern. It's as the old folk used to say, it's none your business. What he's telling them is, don't be so focused on looking like. God is with you. It's a lot of folk who look like God is with them and he is far from them. I ain't got no help right there. He tells them, don't focus on what happens physically in the earth. No, I want you to focus on your assignment. He says, don't worry about presence when God is trying to give you power. I'll try that one more time. He says to them, don't worry about status. Don't worry about respect and regard. I want you to be focused on what God has for you as your assignment. He says to them, I want you to focus on your assignment. Tell your neighbor, focus on your assignment. Now that's hard for a lot of us. It's really hard for a lot of us to focus on our assignment, especially when we see people around us getting more and more. Tell the truth, shame the devil. You know it's hard to hold on when everybody around you looks like they are being blessed. You don't know that it's really not a blessing, but they just saved their money, they budgeted better, and then they went out and did what they could do based on what they had already accumulated. But you believe that that was the blessing of the Lord, and so you go out creating blessings for yourself. And the Lord said, this is not your assignment. If you're focused on trying to attain a thing, you will not have the power to sustain your life. And he says, what I want to give you is power. He tells them, but, verse 8, you will receive power. Power in contrast to your desire for presence. Power in regard to who you are to be for me. I know you want status and presence, but what you will get is power. It's interesting because God is about to give them power. He's going to completely equip them to do a job they don't even realize they're about to do. Can I play with you for a minute? Can we just talk, have a little conversation? Maria, it's something when God puts you in a situation and gives you tools for a job you didn't sign up for. When they met Jesus, let's go back about 3 years. When they met Jesus, they were looking for their personal redemption. And here comes this promised Messiah. This promised Messiah shows up and they connect with him as an individual because the hope was that he would change their lives forever and they would come out of Roman captivity. That is why they connected to him. In the 3 years that they spent with him, they saw him doing stuff differently. They saw him healing people and picking up people from the dead, telling them they didn't have to be dead no more, telling blind people you can come on and see, spitting, putting mud pies in people's eyes, changing their whole life. And they thinking that they have got to be thinking to themselves, this is ridiculous. This I thought things were going to be a lot different. So now you watch now, their whole tone changes in how God moves them from what they originally thought they were going to get from Jesus to what he actually wants them to see so they can take what they saw and go be the same. Anybody hear what I'm saying? I'm saying sometimes it's not a bait and switch, it's not deception, but sometimes the Lord invites you into an encounter that gives you different than what you expected. I wish I could talk to somebody, because some of us know exactly what that's like. We even got fooled at the altar. The preacher told us, come give Jesus your hand, come give the preacher your hand, give God your heart. And we thought that life was going to be better. And the moment you walked that aisle or sat down in the chair, if you were Baptist like I was, and they put your name on that little steno pad, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't have the little database, the little online stuff. They had that steno pad. And that baby had the same steno pad they gave her when they told her she was going to be the church secretary. And that's the same steno pad every member's name is in from 1903 when they built that church. How she got all those names in that one steno pad, we will never know. But they put your name down, and you thought when you went to work the next day, the devil would leave you alone. And you found out that wasn't exactly right. Matter of fact, you found out coming to Jesus made you a target for the attack of the enemy. Let me just make sure you caught that particular point. If the devil ain't bothering you, maybe it's because. And so he looks back down at his notes. Because sometimes God allows you entrance into a situation, entrance into an encounter, so that he can supply you with what you need to go do what he wants you to do. I said it before, we'll say it again. God has a purpose for giving you power. Tell somebody there's a purpose for this. And here's what you got to remember. God only empowers you for what he wants you to do. Can I run that by you again? He tells them, you will receive power. But the reason they're going to receive power is not what they think. It's not so they would be viewed as a world superpower. No, he's giving them power so that they can perform his purpose. They had to learn that the assignment that God had for them is not limited to them. It's for the world. I'll never forget my first taste of power. My first taste of power occurred somewhere around the third or the fourth grade, if I remember correctly. I can't remember exactly, but somewhere around the third or the fourth grade, Vanessa, I experienced my first taste of power. Let me tell you what happened. I was in the classroom at Forest Hills Elementary School, and in that classroom, occasionally the teacher would leave the room. And when she would leave the room, there was always one individual to which they would hand a piece of chalk about that big, and they would tell them to come from their desk and to stand at the front of the room, and they would assign to them that little piece of chalk, and that chalk empowered them to be the monitor of the classroom. You don't know that kind of power. You don't know what it's like to hold that chalk in your hand and know that God, I mean the teacher, had empowered you. Watch this, to take names. Y'all are, woo! You don't know power, baby, until you can look at the person who took your cookies at lunch and say, you better not say nothing. But put your name on. You don't know power. You don't know power. Oh, Lord. Now, you had to be a good student, because they wouldn't give a chalk to the bad student. Well, my teacher messed up one time, and in order to entice me towards proper behavior, she gave me power. I remember walking past friends who had put my name on the board. Huh. Oh, uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. You remember last Wednesday? Huh? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had the chalk in my hand, and the teacher left me instructions. The instructions were simple, Tasha. The instructions were just that I was to make sure that everyone stayed quiet so that the work that was assigned could be done. Now. This wasn't going to give me any extra credit. It was not even about me. And even though she gave me the power, the purpose was to ensure a suitable environment for the work to be done. If someone disturbed the environment,
had the power to set order. Back in the classroom.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to go buy me a piece of chalk when I leave here. I just feel that thing in my spirit now, y'all. Listen, I remember standing there in my corduroys and my Transformer t-shirt. Huh? What you say? What you say? Third, fourth grade, I was still wearing hot boxes. You don't know what those are. They are not made by Nike. They are not made... Hot boxes didn't have a name. Huh? See, back then, Bobos, that's what they were. Huh? That's what they were. See, there used to be two stores side by side. You don't really need this, but I'm just reminiscing. But they had these two stores side by side. They had Kenny's and they had Payless. And you could shop. They had it on Beach Boulevard. They had it on Limp Turner, where Foot Locker is now, right at Soutelle. It was Kenny's and Payless. And you could basically tell the status of a family by which store they walked in. You could. If they walked in the left side, Maria, you know what I'm talking about. If they walked in the Kenny's, oh, they had a little bit of change. Huh? They did. They had a little bit of change. If they went in the Payless, we were going to keep praying their strength in the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? That's, you know, God was, better days were coming. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Better days were coming. And many a day, my mama walked us into Payless. So I had on a pair of shoes from Payless, my Transformer t-shirt. Optimus Prime, mind you. Optimus Prime. You don't know about Optimus Prime, do you? You don't know about Optimus Prime? You miss me. Autobots, roll out. You don't know about it. And so, I'm standing there with my Transformer t-shirt, my corduroys. You know what corduroys are, right? Okay, good. I can keep moving. And my Payless hot boxes. But I've got power. Say what you want. I got power. I'll never forget Joe. Joe and I ain't gonna call his last name because some of y'all might know Joe, especially if you're on the north side. But Joe was one of those students. He was gonna definitely have his name put on the board. Some students, as soon as they got up and got the chalk, as soon as the teacher walked out the door, they just put Joe's name on at the top. Well, we know he gonna do something. We just gonna put it up there now. Save yourself the time, you know, for having to, you understand. And so I'm there and I am empowered. And Joe starts bothering Nikita. Joe is bothering Nikita. And while he's bothering Nikita, Nikita says, "Stop, Joe!" And then she said, "Stop, Joe." I grabbed my chalk. Started walking towards the board, looking at him, menacing him, thinking to myself, "If he touch you again, let me know." A few seconds later, as I watched the left side of the classroom, I heard it again. "Stop, Joe!" Now, I got to move now. I got to do something because the environment for study has been disturbed. And because I had the power, it was up to me. To bring order back to the classroom. Here's the scriptural principle. Jesus is saying to them, if you're focused on the fact that I'm using you, you'll miss what your assignment is. I'm going to give you power for a purpose, and the purpose is bigger than you. As a matter of fact, the purpose, he tells them in verse 8, "You shall be witnesses." Please don't miss this. The power of God in our life is the power to be witnesses. You're not going to like me for the next 5 minutes, but But let me go on and get it out right now. Are you ready? Yes?
Yes.
Come on, class.
Yes.
Talk back to me.
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. This is it's what they do. The Greek word translated here as witness is the word martus. It's where we get our word martyr. You remember what a martyr is, don't you? A martyr is a person who is killed for their religious beliefs. So what Jesus is really telling them is, I want you to stay here until you get the gift my Father gives you. And the gift my Father gives you is the power to die. Did you catch that? Let's read the text again and do it with this understanding. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my martyrs, telling people about me everywhere. Power to die. It is the power to die that sets order in the environment. It's the power to represent him at the expense of your life that causes the world to do right. You want to know why you got as much chaos as you have in your neighborhood? It's because ain't nobody expressing their power to die. Because if just one person would stand up and let it be known that I will die for this community to be right, the community would be right. As a matter of fact, death is already occurring because death is what is required to set the order. But what he wants is people who have been infused by his power. Holy Spirit at work in your life makes you a witness to the fact that Jesus loves somebody, every person. He loves every person, and I'm willing to put my life on the line to ensure that everybody knows it. And if you get enough of those kind of people, order gets established. You want to know why your job is like it is? Because you're there to get a paycheck and not to die. You want to know why your marriage is like it is? Because you think in order for your marriage to be right, you got to live. When in essence, real love is the expense, the passion, the desire to die to make it right. Y'all ain't talking to me. You ain't talking to me. Maybe that's why every time something happens, it feels like it takes a little bit out of you. A little bit of life leaves you. It's intentional, because when he made you his witness, he infused you with power to willingly put your life on the line. So everywhere the order or the kingdom of God is not, it's because somebody is there not willing to die. I told you weren't going to like me. I'm so glad we already took up the offering. But what would happen? What would happen? What kind of world would we have if people were willing to express and exhibit the power to die? He's made me his witness. Oh, the church doesn't like that, because if you're dying, you're not focused on things that make life comfortable. Ain't nobody saying amen, Dr. Z. Ain't nobody. It's real hard to be thinking about a new car when you know that day you might die. Because death sets order. When my grandfather was close to the end of his life on earth, he called me. I was in Dallas, Texas, trying to be a better pastor. I was at the Pastors and Leaders Conference and get a phone call, and I said, "Hey, Pop, I'm gonna call you back. I'll call you back. I'm in this meeting right now. I'll call you back." Okay, call me back. Bro, preaching, I call me back. I need to talk to you. It's okay. So when I got back to my hotel room and I had solitude, I called him back and I said, "Hey, Pop, what's going on?" And he said, "Hey, You not home? No, sir, I'm in Dallas. When you gonna be home? I'll be home Saturday. Why? You need me to come home sooner? Yeah, I need to talk to you. Okay. So I get home and I go out to the nursing home, and when I get to the nursing home, he's looking at me, he's talking to me, and he's telling me, order. He ain't talking about vacations. He's not talking about what furniture he wants to buy. He's talking about order. Because when death is before you, you don't focus on the trivia. You set order.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-699-7962. You may also write to us at P.O. Box 350414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share in worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 8050 Lone Star Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill.